Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's also about the gospel of the kingdom, Zechariah 2:5. But I declares the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides. That will be the glory in her midst. What a promise that is. Now, I want to talk about some encouragement right now. We are seeing revival. We are seeing awakening. We are seeing the Spirit of the Lord breaking out all over the world. We are seeing, I can't think of a time in my lifetime, so maybe somebody has a better frame of reference that has lived over 50 years, but we are seeing quite literally the greatest exposing of evil in the modern era. From the Durham report to just the evil that is being exposed, from the in-your-face Satanism, the in-your-face unreality is trying to foist itself on American citizens. And this is actually a really good time to be alive, an interesting time to be alive, no doubt about that, but a good time to be alive because the enemy is reacting to what God is already doing. And so this exposing is going to continue. There are some things that are going to come out tonight, from what I understand, and some things that are going to come out tomorrow, but we seem to have a situation where it's like we're seeing a decade's worth of news in a week now. And we can focus on what the enemy's doing, or what the darkness is doing, or we can focus on what God is doing and make sure that we are continuing to be that city on a hill, that light on a hill. It does not put a bushel basket over the light, but actually lets the light shine for all to see. That is the call, the clarion call that we have for this time. And as you're going to hear later in this show, during my sermon on Sunday, there is a greater reset coming. The great reset is the counterfeit, and Satan is always trying to put forward a counterfeit. So you know if that there is satanic power out there, well, there, how much more is there with Holy Spirit? You know that that is a counterfeit. You know that the great reset is a counterfeit because a greater reset is coming. And in many ways is already here if we're willing to listen and if we are willing to act. Next week, we're going to be talking about some very serious issues, including the Chinese biological weapons program from one of the experts in the field. So please be staying tuned to Patriot Radio over the next few weeks. And I also want to mention, just as a precursor to what I'm going to talk about now, that just because we know something is a plan of the enemy doesn't mean that that has to come to pass. In fact, a lot of times we're warned about the plans of the enemy so that they can be thwarted. And I'm going to be talking about false flags today, and I'm going to be talking about keeping a balanced perspective when we get information. And that now brings us to your daily intelligence briefing. There is a war today between good and evil. There is a war between good and evil. And God will give us certain discernment points to know what is evil and what is not. And I think one of those interesting discernment points happened very recently at the end of Ramadan. Travis, go ahead and roll the clip.
A prophetic sign just took place in Mecca, in Islam's most holiest site, where they turn and pray to every day. This happened at the end of their most holiest month, Ramadan, and an infestation, a plague-level event of weird insects came and descended upon Mecca at the end of Ramadan, with a swarm of locust-type bugs, weird insects infesting the site there, Islam's most holiest site. In 2 Chronicles 7:13, it says, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. A prophetic sign just took place.
When that happens, 2 Chronicles 7:13, when that happens, we can see it as a sign from the Lord on what is evil and what is not. Now, I find this interesting. This isn't just a one-off or something like that. It's an indicator. Remember that, an indicator. And I find it fascinating that we are literally watching Scripture played out in real time. In real time. Now, that brings us to the Middle East, and it brings us to Debka file first. Russian militants claim big border incursion from Ukraine. The first time since World War II. Now, I don't want this to be overblown, okay? But Russian territory was occupied by a foreign force. Now, according to Debka file, the governor of Russia's Belgorod region on the Ukrainian border said Tuesday that drones were shot down Monday by anti-aircraft weapons and that a counterterrorism operation continues against what Russian officials are calling a Ukrainian sabotage group. Now, the Ukrainians claim that those were Russians actually fighting against Russia. Now, regardless, there's a lot of propaganda, obviously, on both sides. But what is really not as well talked about is that this group was headed toward what many believe is a tactical nuclear weapons storage facility. This is the story behind the story. So this is how you can have it masked on both sides, and it could be set up for a false flag. But not many people are talking about that they were headed towards a facility that could very well store tactical nuclear weapons. And it is our job here at Patriot Radio to make sure that you do, in fact, know that. Next, coming to us from Amir Sarfati, breaking news, Israel getting ready for a war with Hezbollah. Today, Israel had a meeting with its Security Council, and there is something big, according to their intelligence, that is coming in northern Israel, so there may be a large-scale operation against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon coming very shortly. And what that just tells us is, and continues to tell us, is that the Middle East is on fire right now, and we, all of us, need to be paying attention to not just Israel. Need to be paying attention to Turkey. And if you have not heard the episode and you didn't see my post on what's really happening in Turkey with Recep Erdogan, you need to see that. It's going to give you some discernment points coming here in the near future. That brings us next to one of the more disconcerting stories that has come about here in the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you remember, Jack Decker was on the show. Now, Jack Decker did a tabletop exercise in 2014 as a member of the intelligence community talking about what could possibly happen in two election cycles and after in the United States of America and what would likely happen in those scenarios. And as part of this tabletop exercise, the worst case scenario was that there would be some sort of a nuclear detonation inside the United States of America. And then shortly thereafter, there would be a complete outage of both the internet and cellular services in the United States. And during that time, the United States government, the regime of the United States government, would try to come against patriot leaders across the country. Now, this is part of their tabletop exercise. I'm just reporting what they talked about as a worst case scenario. So that makes this article, at least for me, an intelligence indicator. U.S. senators are being issued satellite phones in preparation for a disruptive event. Now, we followed up on this. All 100 U.S. senators were offered the phones. At least apparently 50 have accepted that, probably over that at this time. But here is the key phrase here. They were told that this would be in case of a man-made or natural disaster, according to the report. So the Senate specifically wants to give U.S. senators a satellite phone in case of a disruptive event in the United States of America. Now, they have not done this to our knowledge. Now, there have been other things they put in place for continuity of government, but they have not done this to our knowledge here in the last decade. Now, they may have, and this might, you know, just be a rotating out, but it doesn't seem that way, and I'll tell you why. Quote, a Department of Homeland Security advisory said satellite phones are a tool for responding to and coordinating government services in the case of a man-made or natural disaster that wipes out communication, end quote. Is that within the technological ability of China to do that? Is that part of the Chinese plan to do that? Well, actually, the answer to that is yes. They have been planning this literally for 20-plus years. So the fact that they're handing these phones out to U.S. senators right now should raise the alert level of all Americans. Now, in addition to a follow-up report, this coming to us, that was from Western Journal, this coming to us from Epoch Times, explosives manufacturer reports losing over 30 tons of ammonium nitrate. Now, that's 60,000 pounds that was in a rail car that rail car arrived empty in California. I want to give you an alternative perspective that came in earlier today that, I don't know, most people wouldn't have access to that, but this came from a Central Washington Railroad person that will remain nameless. 30 tons is roughly a third of the payload in a loaded hopper. So one hopper bay probably leaked out en route. If the locks on the outlet gate are defective or not set properly, then one good slack run-in is all it takes to lift the load off the gate and allow it to slide open a half inch or so. Then the load simply leaks out, maybe leaving a small pile if the train stops somewhere. You see this all the time with piles of commodities in sidings and occasionally on the main line. And he believes that this article is making a mountain out of a molehill. Now, could it have leaked? Could that actually be what happened? Absolutely. But I'm here to tell you these are indicators, again, that raise our awareness level, raise our vigilance level, because ammonium nitrate goes missing, and you're talking about 15 Ryder truckloads, the amount that was Ryder truck used at the Oklahoma City bombing. This has all the potential. Oops, we lost the ammonium nitrate. Where did it go? Could it be in preparation for a false flag? Now, he brings up a plausible scenario that could have happened. It could have leaked out. But we're going to add something next that really has my radar up. So we have the first, the U.S. senators being issued the sat phone. Then we have this lost ammonium nitrate. And now we have this guy who tries to ram the Capitol last night. He was driving a U-Haul. He rams the Capitol. And conveniently, there's a Nazi flag in the cab. There's too much weirdness going on right now. That, yes, they may be unrelated. Yes, it doesn't necessarily mean there's correlation here. Or, you know, but it has at least my radar up very high. And yours should be as well out there in Patriot Radio land. Gateway Pundit has the article. 19-year-old man. Now listen to this. Saivar Shithkandula from a St. Louis suburb. Sounds like a white supremacist. Not. Was driving U-Haul that rammed into White House barriers with Nazi flag. Now, by the way, he was driving very slow. The U-Haul was empty. This stuff is weird. And then just on the heels of Patriot Front showing up within hours of Joe Biden saying that white supremacy is the greatest threat that we're facing in America. And, you know, they seem to show up in U-Hauls as well all over the country. The police don't ever really seem to do anything about them. Then you had an officer on record in Idaho saying that they had informants in Patriot Front. And you can go back and you can see these videos. All of this together, it has my radar up. And the news behind the news here is this. Something big is coming. We don't know what it is exactly. Something big is coming. And these are all little indicators that we all need to be ready at a moment's notice as citizens, prepared to help our neighbors in their time of need, to be ready to stand and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And specifically at the local level, you have a Chinese infiltration happening on the southern border, and we're going to get to something very, very alarming here in a second. You have a Chinese infiltration happening at the southern border, military-age males coming across the southern border. You have massive upticks in cartel proxy activity. In other words, the Chinese proxies are the cartels happening inside the United States of America. You have the Chinese rattling their sabers. You have the Iranians rattling their sabers. You have the Russians and the Iranians sharing technology now and information in a greater extent than they ever have. And the world, everybody can kind of feel it. The world is right on an edge right now. And I want to remind you, the bigger picture is the globalists want a world war, because every time a world war happens, it gives them an opportunity to implement control mechanisms to further their cause. World War I, League of Nations, World War II, United Nations, and then World War III, they want to try the full implementation of a one world government, one world economy, and one world religion. I'm not going to get into the World Economic Forum today, but even Yuval Noah Harari just basically comes out and talks about the visions of the future. Klaus Schwab talks about the visions of the future. A dystopia where you will have no property and like it. Well, that's not the American way, obviously. And many of us are waking up, and many of us in Patriot Radio Land are not only waking up, we are waking up our friends and family. And so redouble your efforts in this time to wake people up, to have the hard conversations about what's actually happening in this country, about the censorship, about the persecution of Christians that has already begun in the United States. And begin to act locally. Get people who understand the threat to this nation elected to office. Defund those things that are being used against us. Stop giving your money to entities, companies that are attempting to destroy our way of life. And stand for the truth. Wherever you hear unreality, bring the truth. Bring the truth in love. And that brings us to probably the most alarming article today, coming to us again from Gateway Pundit. I am going to chop you. What? I am going to chop you. Well, New York City college professor who cursed out pro-life students holds machete to New York Post reporter's neck. There's a picture of it. And Travis, if you can get that up there, that would be awesome. It is a shocking display, but look at the violent left is just being exposed everywhere right now. And you notice that every time they try to project onto Christians what they actually are themselves. And there you have it. A college professor holding a machete to a reporter's neck. Also, I want to bring up an article while we have a little bit of time left right now. I want to bring up an article from Claire Lopez that it's stunning. This article from Defend the Border and Save Lives, Biden to end familial DNA testing at the border, opening way for large-scale child trafficking. Let me put this to you this way. They were doing DNA testing to make sure that people were actually family members as they came across the border. They're going to end that now, which obviously will open up the door for human trafficking. And I think many people rightly believe that this is intentional lawlessness from the regime in Washington, D.C. We're going to have more on this next week when Claire Lopez joins us as we talk about the Chinese bioweapons program and also this travesty happening at the southern border. Last but not least, coming to us from Readout News, New York City to begin tracking food purchases to make sure residents don't consume too much meat. This weekend and all week this week, do your American duty and eat beef. Amen. And Travis, we got a real brief, lighthearted video. Let's go ahead and roll that.
Sir?
I would like to acquire one tattoo, please.
A tattoo? How old are you, kid?
Okay. I'm 15.
No can do on a tattoo without your parents' permission. Tattoos are permanent, you see.
It's my body, my choice.
You're 14. Take it from me. You're going to regret it one day.
But.
All right.
And Travis, if we could cut it.
Can I just buy some?
But. They can get gender transition surgery without their parents' knowledge. Does that make any sense? Of course it doesn't. And now, the Sunday sermon.
Hallelujah. You know, I think a lot of times we don't realize the walls that are put up in our lives. You know, somebody hurts us and we just throw this thing up there, right? And we're like, I don't know why I'm struggling. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm kind of angry toward people and I don't even mean to be or kind of mean or just... It's this wall we put up in our life. We put up walls in our finances. Oh, Lord, I'll trust you. How much? Because I'll trust you with that much. Right? Instead of, Lord, I just give it to you. Right? It's all yours anyway. I give it to you. A lot of us have been hurt by our family members. A lot of us have experienced trauma. A lot of us have experienced disappointment. Some of you today have come here and you're like, it's my last option. I'm going to try church. Or I'm going to try that church because I've tried all the other. We're going to try On Fire. Right? It's not about a church. It's about him. It's not about the hurt you have in your life. It's about him. It's not about what you lack. It's about him. And when he's in you, you have everything. It's the greatest lie of the enemy to say you're missing something. Hear me right now. It is the greatest lie. You're missing something. You don't have it. It's like lost out there. Jesus is not lost. Hear me right now. He's not lost. If he's inside you, he's not lost. He's exactly where he means to be. Right? So if he's right here, we have access to everything. We need to start praying that way. Lord, that thing in my life, I plead your blood over it. I just give it to you. I don't know what the answer is, but you do. You're the answer. We don't have detail in our life. Maybe we're struggling or confused over something. What's right or wrong in this situation? We don't have details when the light's not shining in. And you could just pray that, Lord, I speak your light into this situation. I don't get it. I don't know why this happened. Lord, I speak your light into this situation. There is no lack in the kingdom. There is no disease in the kingdom. There is no sickness in the kingdom. There is no trauma in the kingdom. There is no pain in the kingdom. And I think a lot of our lives is holding on to this thing because somebody told us that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. His truth is what should prevail. You don't have to keep living like that. Somebody's got to hear that again. You don't have to keep living like that. If God wants to take your job from you, he's got something better. Amen? Whew. Yeah, that's right. You know, COVID kind of brought us to that point. Lord, I'm either going to trust you with my livelihood, I'm going to trust you with my reputation. They're calling me names. They're saying I'm crazy. Well, there's a great gigantic fat I told you so all over the internet right now. It's his reputation, not yours anyway, if he's inside you, right? Right? When Satan comes and knocks on the door of your house, your temple, right? It's really his temple. We want to answer the door. And I hear this all the time. I'm struggling with this. I tried to do this. I was walking the 12-step program for this. Let Jesus answer the door. And you're going to watch. Satan walks up and rings the doorbell. And Jesus answers the door. And he's like, well, yep, wrong house. Right? When he tries to whisper that you should suffer or you have lack, he rings the doorbell and Jesus shows up. That just goes away. It's that kind of belief, that kind of faith that we're talking about. I don't want to see with my eyes what's happening in front of me. I want to see with my spiritual eyes, right? I don't want to walk by sight. I want to walk by faith. And for the Abraham generation, there's a lie that has been spoken over and over again to you, that you're washed up. There's no redeeming. The time is gone. God is not finished with you yet. And of every generation, this question is asked. The greatest generation had one gigantic mistake. It didn't pass on what it learned in blood to the next generation. Don't be that generation. Be the greater generation that passes on all you've learned. Well, they don't listen to me. I'm here to, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I rebuke that lie. The Isaac generation, I'm still there for a few more years. I'm so excited about that. Still there for a few. The Jacob generation, they're longing. They're hungry to hear reality. The truth. They want to be spoken into. They want it. In fact, they're desperate to find somebody that would mentor them. Somebody that would just speak some experience into their life so that they can't walk down the road just blundering into things. They can actually walk with purpose and wisdom. They're hungry for it. And of any Jacob and Isaac generation that needs to be spoken into, it's these generations right now. We need to share our testimonies. That lie of, it's not going to matter. Yes, it is going to matter. It mattered to you. 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 Too often, we're the ones that turn off the speaker. We're the one that closes the door. When God's like, no, the door's open, son. The door's open, daughter. Walk through it. And I pray right now that we would walk through that door today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's something in the world today called the Great Reset. Now, can you go back? Can you go to the, I don't know how you got that order. Anyway, all right, go to the slide that says the Great Reset, okay? Apparently we don't have it. So what you should see is that. There you go.
buys clothing like that? Just as a total side note, okay? For real. Now, here's the thing. The world wants us to focus on the Great Reset, right? Focus on the Great Reset. This is the counterfeit. You know why the enemy is saying there's a Great Reset? Because there is a greater reset coming. Now you can put up the good one. There we go. I don't know about you, but that's how I love to see Jesus. Not effeminate Jesus, right? Shriveled up. That is our Lord and Savior. And He is charging through every part of our lives. He wants it all. There isn't a part of this world that Jesus is like, well, I guess we lost that one. When He was hanging on the cross, He was like, I want the whole thing. I want it all, right? Because that's why He came. He didn't come for a part. And so you shouldn't settle for a part either. When you have that reset in your life, it should be the whole thing. For the Abraham generation, the whole kit and caboodle. The whole thing. All of it. Every part. Does this look like a Jesus that came to lose ground? That came to give up? Well, Hilliard is bad. I just didn't see that one coming. Or is that a Jesus who conquers all? All. Who redeems all. Whew. Everybody say all again. If you're brand new to On Fire Ministries, when we say all, everybody says all. Okay, because that's what He means. This is Jesus. A conquering king with a sword of flame and a scepter of righteousness and power. And if you are an heir, if you are a son and a daughter of the King, He has given you authority, a scepter, and power, a flaming sword, a word to break through a situation, a word to break through that thing that you have been stuck in, a word to break through that sickness, a word to break through for your family. He's given that to you. And quite often we take this sword that the Lord has given us and we hang it on a wall, put it on a desk, and we never open it and use it. We never walk with authority because, well, somebody told me that we can't do anything about the evil in the world, that Jesus is coming and I just need to get a bag of popcorn and wait till He gets back. That's the greatest lie in this. It is the greatest lie in the modern era, that evil's in the world and we can't do anything about it. If the founding fathers believed that, we wouldn't have a country. If the riders on the circuit during the first Great Awakening believed that, we wouldn't have had a Great Awakening. Or a second Great Awakening. Or the greatest generation, we would not have won in World War II if we believed we couldn't do anything about it. The fact of the matter is, all creation is groaning right now for us to do something. So will we do something about it? Will we do something about it? Will we truly do something about it? And it starts right here in our lives. And then it goes to our families, and then it goes to the community, and then it goes to a nation. So I want to talk about the greater reset today. Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, Paul is quoting another verse. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second.
For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. And again, Gabe, we didn't coordinate, so I love that. Light shall shine out of darkness. That means he's going to put us right at the tip of the spear. You know, it's an honor, actually, to be there. I've said this before. It is an honor to be chosen to be the tip of the spear to go to the hardest part of the battle. It's an honor. In war and in the army, if your unit got chose to spearhead the attack, that was the greatest honor, because you were trusted with going to the darkest, most hopeless place and bringing the light. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light. This word could be translated illumination or enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That word knowledge means to accept, to understand, and to accept. A lot of times in our culture, we can understand something, but we're not accepting the truth. In the church, we can understand Jesus, but we don't accept it, the truth that comes with that, right? The Greek word there for darkness is skotos, which means darkness either physical or moral. Everybody hear that just now? Darkness either physical or moral. Obscurity, where something is made unclear. That is the entire thing we are facing right now. You could just turn the TV on. God help you if you do. Turn it back off quickly. Right? You turn the TV on and you see nothing but confusion. Is that a man or a woman? What is a man or a woman? Used to be fairly simple, an adult human female, an adult human male. I don't know. Call me old fashioned. I know who it was. Love you, brother. Brother Derek. It is nothing but sowing confusion, because when there's confusion and the enemy sows that in, he can then get you to give up authority to him. And this is exactly what happened in the garden. Did God really say? Starting to sow confusion. Is that tree and that fruit right there really bad? And he's sowing confusion, so he gets you to give up your authority, because the enemy has no authority unless we give it to him. I told somebody a few months ago, was praying over them, told them that they had something in their closet. They needed to search their closet and find it, right? Lo and behold, there's a jar of witchcraft stuff in there, right? Probably need to get that out of your house, right? So God wants to have us have that kind of clarity. Now, the enemy will come in and say, well, that's not that big a deal. It's a gift from somebody. You really want to be that kind of person that throws away a gift? Really? You're gonna... And start sowing that confusion, right? When it's super easy, right? Fire up the fire pit and throw it in and get rid of it in Jesus' name, right? That's what we're talking about here. When there is no light, you lack detail. You can't see detail. And that's why the enemy wants to keep you in the dark, so you can't see the detail, so you can't act like you're supposed to. You can't do what God's called you to do. When you can't see detail, it creates confusion and ambiguity, and it creates a situation where you're almost groping around in the dark. So if you're experiencing that in your life today, the prayer is really simple. Lord, I speak your light into that situation. Really easy, isn't it? I want you to take a moment right now. We're going to practically do this. I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to think of the situation in your life where it's confusing. There's some ambiguity there. You feel like you've been groping around in the dark. And I want you to speak the light of Jesus Christ into that situation right now. Yeah. Now,
as you get revelation and enlightenment right now.
Oh, okay.
Some of you may need to write it down. Go ahead and write it down.
Okay, great.
Cool. Now, the Greek word for glory in this passage, doxis, means to be heavy. So sometimes when we're worshiping, you kind of feel this heaviness come. That's the Lord's glory. But it says the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, which means if we have our attention on Him, we understand His intrinsic worth, the honor, the renown, the glory, the splendor, but more important, the unspoken manifestation of God. When I close my eyes, I want to be able to see His face. I want to be able to be with Him. And I want that knowledge that comes with it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Put that slide back up about the greater reset. I want the knowledge of that. Because you see back here, a little bit faded, there's swords in the hands of His saints. There are horses under His saints. His saints aren't riding tentatively forward. I hope Jesus knows what He's doing. I don't know if you have ever been a part of a cavalry charge in the modern era, but I had the distinct honor of being a part of one when I was younger. It was 5 miles across in the desert. 70-ton Abrams tanks, Bradley fighting vehicles, completely stretched as far as the eye could see. It was amazing. And I got to be at the kind of the head of it, just a little bit ahead of everybody else. And I looked around and I saw Apache helicopters above us. Right. And then I saw A-10 Warthog planes above that. And as we were rolling, we started rolling, it got faster and faster. You could just feel it. The ground was shaking. It was shaking, and there was dust everywhere, right? And you could see that the enemy tanks in the distance. I felt invincible at that moment. And we're rolling with 70 tons under you. You feel invincible, okay? And we're going, and everybody's going, and you could hear over the radio just people start yelling. There was just something about it, right? This isn't a crowd behind Jesus who's like, yay. There's something about a cavalry charge. It just brings out that guttural thing, that victorious scream inside of you. We call it a war cry. Like, yeah, we're going. Woo! And everything that is before us is going to give way. Woo! But Jesus, if you might make time for me today, I would like to have victory in this area of my life. We need more of a war cry in His church today. Because this army right here is greater than anything we have ever seen. This army shakes the ground and the enemy starts going, ah! The army of God is here. That's the kind of light that He shines ahead of Him. The enemy quakes at the idea that we might know the glory of God. Because when we do, there is nothing that can stand in the way. Nothing. Verse 7. But we have this treasure. I love that. Just kind of like, we have a treasure. We have a treasure in earthen containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves.
Excellent.
Man, hallelujah. Presence, purpose, and power. His presence shakes things. It makes things manifest. When Jesus is here, sometimes things will manifest. They have to.
He walked up to the demoniac and immediately they're like, why are you here? Are you here to judge before the time they manifested, right? They self-identified. Purpose. It says extraordinary greatness. When the light reveals something in our lives, it actually also reveals purpose because it reveals the purpose of the thing that's been illuminated. Think about that for a second. So when the purpose is illuminated, the purpose in his kingdom is not mediocrity and partiality. It is extraordinary greatness. Everybody say extraordinary greatness. So your finances are supposed to be operating in extraordinary greatness. Your body, extraordinary greatness. Your life, the purpose of your life is extraordinary greatness. Not, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. The church has been infected with that. Extraordinary greatness. Everybody say extraordinary greatness again. Everybody say, I am destined for extraordinary greatness. Extra ordinary. Amen. When that purpose is revealed, he gives us the power to then act. He doesn't show you your purpose and then say, well, you're on your own. Training wheels are off.
For rent, pay your parents on?
Have a fun time going down the hill, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's how I learned how to ride a bike. I just rode until I crashed. I guess that's kind of a life lesson there. I don't know. Anyway, so that was a life lesson without God. God is clearing the way ahead of us. God is preparing us. God has empowered us. We don't have to accept the evil in our lives. We don't have to accept the lack in our lives. We don't have to accept the worry and anxiety in our lives. We don't have to accept that we were one way in the past and we're stuck there. We can accept that we are destined for extraordinary greatness, and he has given us the power to get there. Whew. Which is going to bring us back to the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness. And this is an interesting thing. And it says, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Bohu and tohu. Without light or purpose. Hear that? Without light or purpose, bohu, tohu, chaos, confusion, and hear this right now, unreality. Unreality. That's what it will look like. But, everybody say but. The Spirit of God was hovering. In other words, his presence was there. When his presence is there, there's action. He was hovering. He wasn't just standing still. He was hovering over the surface of the waters. And there was a power there that was getting ready to push back the darkness. A miracle was needed and required to reset the madness of the unreality that was there. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was purpose again. And he announced it and it came out of his mouth and suddenly everything changed. And he is speaking to all of us today. His word is speaking to us today. Not so it just, oh, it was a great sermon today, or maybe it wasn't, I don't know. And we go out and we leave here. We leave changed. Because his word cannot help but change things. A word of hope and healing and freedom and destiny and love. So what happens when
Tohu is in the world and Bohu is in the world, let me tell you what happens. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what happens. We are afflicted in every way, but, everybody say but, not crushed. Whew. Perplexed, but, everybody say but, not despairing. Whew. Persecuted, but, not abandoned. Struck down, but, not destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now, I want to go back here for a second. This is stating the obvious of the world. Now, a lot of times you read this and everybody's like, yep, you see, we're going to be afflicted. And they read all the negative, like we're going to be afflicted and crushed and despair. Or, oh, we're not going to be that. But we are going to be persecuted, struck down, and always carrying around in the body, the dying of Jesus. That's our lot. As if the other words aren't there. That we're not crushed, we're not despairing, we're not abandoned, we're not destroyed. We're actually carrying around the life of Jesus being revealed in our body. And if it's being revealed in our body, it's being revealed to everybody else around us.
Hallelujah.
Look at this, may sound really obvious to you, but in the world, sinners sin. Why are we shocked at that? Trust me, evil does evil things. Okay. We aren't surprised at that because the natural state in the fallen world is chaos and confusion and emptiness and a lack of knowledge and understanding and no boundaries and direction and no restraint. A wasted life without purpose, unreality, and madness. Since the beginning? But God wants to change that bohu and tohu into something great. And the fact of the matter is there's always darkness right before the dawn. Always right before the light because there has to be the contrast. The counterfeit is a guy looking like he came out of a Star Trek show. But the greater reality, the real reality, the truth is a God who was in a cold and hopeless and forsaken tomb right before the miracle. And just like in the beginning, Jesus was laying there, wrapped. He was hearing his apostles and disciples in despair, hearing them perplexed, hearing them crushed, hearing them without any sort of direction, hearing them wailing over their Savior, but they didn't even know He was a Savior yet. They thought they had lost. The enemy thought he had won. The enemy thought that he had conquered the God of the universe. I want you to hear this right now. The hubris that we hear in society right now. They've won. You Christians have lost. It's a post-Christian era. Can we put that back up and just leave it up there? Tell that to him, it's a post-Christian era. I want you to put yourself there for a second. A cold tomb. If any of you have ever been in a cave, they're cold. They're kind of dank. And then the rock, the stone is rolled over the entrance and it's dark. There's no light. And he's dead. And then he said, one simple phrase. Let there be light. And everything changed. No longer was that tomb dark and cold. It was filled with hope. It was filled with fire. Even the stone had to roll away. Everything had to give way to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was nothing that could stop him. And when he walked out of that tomb, the world changed. It totally changed. And if we believe that, our lives will be changed. That we're out of that tomb, and when he sent the light forth, the darkness had to flee. Every dark area of our life has to flee before the light of Jesus. But when we close a door to an area of our life, we leave it dark? No. God is asking each one of us today to open the door of that area of our life we've kept from him. Because when Jesus is there, the darkness has to go. When Jesus is there, the darkness has to go. And when the light comes forth, so comes life. Some of you walked into this building today and you wondered if your life was worth living still. You wondered if there still could be any joy in this life, any peace in this life, any love in this life. You walked in here wondering that. And the light is life. Let him shine in your hearts. Satan wants to do a great reset of God's plan. It looks dark right now. He tries to convince you that there is no hope, that there's nothing you can do. But God has a greater reset for all of us. He has a greater reset for this country, a reset for your life, a reset for the family, a reset for this country and the whole world. He wants to turn chaos in your life into calm. He wants to turn confusion in your life to clarity. He wants to turn emptiness in your life to empowerment. He wants to turn lack in your life to fullness. He wants to turn foolishness in your life to wisdom. He wants to turn madness to a sound mind. He wants to turn falsity in your life to true. He wants to turn despair to destiny. And he wants to see your life changed and everyone around you. Father, right now, we bring our chaos, our confusion, and our emptiness to you. Lord, we thank you that your light shine in every area of our heart. Show us if there's an area that's closed off to you, Lord. We want your light to shine in every area of our heart right now. No more tohu, no more bohu. We want you to shine. We ask that your light shine in us right now, fully, completely. That if we put a bushel basket over the light, that it is removed right now in Jesus' name. God, that you would redeem every part of us, every part of our lives. Lord, we speak your light over our minds. We speak your light over our emotions. We speak your light over our identities. We speak your light over our will. We speak your light over our bodies. We speak your light over our relationships. We speak your light right now over those things that you've given us to steward, including our finances. And we ask you right now, Jesus, as you shine your light into us, that this is your temple. Use it how you will. Teach us, show us how to walk in the light. Show us where we need to rebuke any darkness or despair or confusion or chaos. And God, may we fully embrace that not only are you the light of the world, but you have made us, each one of us, the light of the world. May we shine where you've called us to shine. May we shine regardless of what the enemy tries to whisper. May we shine regardless of the threats that come against us. May we shine regardless of what we see with our waking eyes. May we shine with an eternal sight, an eternal light, and an eternal fight for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Amen.